I'm excited about what I get to share tonight. It's actually kind of easy to share these things because they're the obvious, but I'm excited about them. And what I want to challenge each of us with is something that's we need to see more of, and it's something that's easily lost, and that is the miraculous, the supernatural. The word supernatural has kind of been shifted into something occultish, and it isn't that. And the fact that we're born again is something supernatural. In other words, it's outside of the realm of the laws of nature that God would come again and live within our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's supernatural. But what I want us to see tonight, and you know, I want us to, I guess, recognize that the Christian life should be a life of the miraculous. And we get so tired and run down, and we need to see the movings of God as His people. We need to see that it's encouraging, and it's just wonderful. We need to see more of it. We need to be able to think outside of the realm of our little limits. And God is a God who will not be held within limits. He does that which is surprising. He is a God who is surprising. And as we read through these verses, who would have thought? Who would have ever thought that a virgin would conceive? You know, that a virgin would have within her a child. Behold, He said, a virgin shall bring forth a child. I mean, who thought of that? It's amazing. You know, and all the way through the story. So I'm just going to go through the story, as we call it, quote, kind of the Christmas story, and I take some license because I go a little bit past the Christmas story, but I want us to get a sense of the supernatural. And the reason of it is that you and I need the supernatural in our lives. We have to believe that God can do great things in our lives. Each one of us need a miracle or miracles. And the God that we have to do with is a God of the miraculous, who is not limited by the laws of physics or the laws of chemistry or the laws of gravity or the laws of time. He's not limited by any of those things. He is a magnificent God. No one can understand Him. No one can confine Him and shrink Him up. And that's been tried. Herod tried to do it. He said, well, I'll confine this little infant to Bethlehem, and I'll exterminate him there. He couldn't do it. And every turn, he was outfoxed. The old fox, Herod, was outfoxed. And so I want us just to see these things. And again, the reason of it is that an expectancy would grow in our hearts by the Spirit that God wants to do something new in our lives, just like He did 2,000 years ago when God became flesh. And He wants to do something new in our life, and we should expect the unexpected. If God can raise up children from stones, none of us have a problem bigger than that. And God says it's easy. John the Baptist said it's easy for God to raise up children unto Himself of stones. Well, He can certainly do something with our situations, can He? So here we have it. In Luke chapter 1, verse 11, and I've kind of put these in a chronological order. I'm not going to open my Bible and look at them, but you follow along. In Luke chapter 1, verse 11, the angel, this is how it begins. The angel appears to Zacharias. Now, that's miraculous. Imagine if all of a sudden the angel of the Lord showed up here. You know, I don't know what we would do. You know, it'd be great to find out, wouldn't it? Just, you know, jaw dropping, fall over dead, passing out, the glory of God. And the angel of the Lord, they're standing with Zacharias, and He speaks to Zacharias. Miracle number one. There's at least 23 miracles that I've written down, and I might have missed some. So the first one, the angel appears unto Zacharias. Miraculous, right? The second thing that happens, Zacharias in verse 20 is struck speechless. This man, older man, maybe in his 80s, one time in his lifetime, he gets to be the priest that goes in to make this offering once in his life. And he makes it, and he's struck speechless because he said to the angel said, you're going to have a son. He's 80 years old. His wife's the same age. He says, you're going to have a son. He says, oh, wow, how's that going to happen? You know, it's way past Elizabeth. There's no way she's going to have a child. And how am I going to know that's true? He said, well, I'm going to keep your mouth shut. Boom, you can't speak. So the second miracle is that, boom, supernatural thing. Zacharias comes out, and he can't speak anymore. So there's the second thing. The third thing that happens in verse 20. Verse 24, guess what? The old lady conceives and she's with child. This old lady in her 80s, she's in child. How, you know, anybody here 80? You know, we don't want to work our way down, but, you know, imagine being with child. Yo! You know, but that's, she wanted a child. She's got a child. That's the third miracle. This old, so God can do this. You know, not that he's looking, you know, today to do that, but I don't know what we have in our lives. But this 80-year-old woman and this 80-year-old man conceived a child. Isn't that miraculous? That doesn't happen every day. I haven't seen that on Yahoo News. You might find it at one of those inquirers at the news checkout, you know. But, so that was, then in verse 26, then the angel of the Lord appears unto Mary. He's very busy. So just 3 months later, he appears unto Mary. The angel shows up again. Wow. You know, three months later, here he is again. The angel shows up again and he shows up to Mary. What a miraculous thing. And even as I'm saying it, it's old hat because I already mentioned that the angel appeared to Zechariah. So it's kind of old hat talking about the angel. But he is busy. He shows up to Mary. He makes a visitation to Mary. That doesn't happen every day in our life, that angels are showing up and speaking to us. And that happens. The next miracle I have in verse 28 of Luke chapter 1 is this, that Mary believed him. How could she believe such a thing? This young little girl. Virgin girl, and this angel just shows up and says, oh yeah, by the way, behold, God's going to plant a baby in you. Nothing sexual there. He's just going to plant a child in you. And you're going to carry this child. You're going to be the vessel that's going to carry this child. And the child will latch into your womb by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he will grow and he will be born. And this is what's going to happen. And she says, okay. You know, okay, you know, just amazing. So that's the fifth one already, that Mary believed God. Then if I turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, because moving along chronologically, the angel appears to Joseph in a dream, and he tells Joseph, Mary's okay. She hasn't cheated on you, because that would be a death sentence in that age. Any premarital sex was dealt with by stoning. It only happened once. And it was over. What an example to the community. Imagine in town if we lived according to this principle. If someone was caught in adultery, they were stoned to death. And so he comes to Joseph and says, listen, Joseph, it's okay. Really, what Mary told you is that she hasn't known a man. The Holy Ghost has come upon her. And she has taken this child is the Son of God. And so an angel comes to Joseph. So that's supernatural. Comes to my dream, and boom, that happens. So then in verse 41, going now to Luke chapter 1, that was Matthew 1:20, Luke chapter 1, verse 41, this old lady who had conceived meets his aunt Mary, and when the baby hears the voice of Mary, the baby leaps in her womb. You know, just jumps in her womb because he hears the mother of Jesus and the baby, the presence of Christ, and just there, the baby leaps. Oh, if we could be so sensitive to God in our midst. The baby leaped, you know, we can't even raise our hands. You know, and this little baby leapt in the Elizabeth's womb. Wow. And then in the same verse it says, and this little baby who is, 6, 8, 9 months old, this little baby is filled with the Spirit. He's got Pentecost. You know, charismatic in the womb. This is what's going on. Wow, that doesn't happen every day. So that's the next thing that happened. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. The next thing in verse 41, Elizabeth prophesies. Now there's gifts of the Spirit moving around. Elizabeth is prophesying. Again, you can read these things. 42, she prophesies. Moving down in the chapter, verse 64, back to Zacharias, the dad, all of a sudden, he can speak again. And the argument is about they're going to name this little child Zacharias because this was the custom. The father has the son takes the father's name. And then John the Baptist Zacharias, he can't speak. And so they write on a slate, you know, well, you know, is this really what you want? And he goes, no, he's got to be John. That's got to be his. Well, that's not customary. You can't name him John. You got to name it. No, his name is John. And finally, when he gets it through to them and they accept it, he can speak again. Another miracle, this man who hasn't spoke for 9 months, now he speaks. So, wow, that's wonderful. What happens in verse 67, three verses later, Zacharias, this old man, he's filled with the Spirit. Man, there's something going on here. You know, because Jesus is here. And so Zacharias is filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does he do in the next verse? He prophesies. More gifts moving around. He prophesies. Back to Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Then Jesus is born. God in the flesh is born in a stinking manger, in a place that was kept for animals. There was no room for him, and he's born in a stinking stable. But that's not the miracle. The miracle is that God came in the flesh and took upon himself human form that he might take upon himself human sin. He's born in a stable. Another miracle. The next in verse 9, then this busy angel shows up again, and he shows up to the shepherds. And all of these shepherds are out just doing their thing, doing what they're supposed to do. And shepherds are scum. They aren't highly favored at all. I don't know if you've been around sheep very long and closed into a sheep barn. They stink. You know, that's why they kept these sheep outside, I think. You know, but it wasn't like the greatest profession, you know. They were like the garbage collectors of the area, and that's okay, too. Today you can make a lot of money doing that. But anyway, so the angel appears unto shepherds. That's a miracle. Again, that doesn't happen every day, that the angel is showing up while you're doing your farm work. You're out there, you know, feeding the hogs, feeding cattle, you know, planting grain, whatever you're doing, harvesting, and all of a sudden the angel shows up. Again, that's miraculous. So the angel shows up to these shepherds, verse 9. Verse 13, all of heaven erupts. All of a sudden, all of heaven and the heavenly hosts appear. And the glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Just the whole, all of heaven erupts. Okay, that doesn't happen every day. Verse 26, then we see as the story moves on that they take Jesus as a little infant, 8 days old. They bring him to the temple. And there's an old man named Simeon who's there, who God promised you won't die until you see the child. And Simeon prophesies. Okay, the Spirit is still moving. It says the Spirit of God moved upon him, and then he spoke and he prophesies. Simeon prophesies. Back to Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. The next thing we see is that there's some wise men. I love the saying, wise men still seek him. You know, and so there's three wise men, and they're led there by following some kind of a star. There's some star, and through some prophecy, ancient prophecy, it talks about that there will be this king raised up in Israel. And God uses the worldly things. He uses other non-Christian things to do his purpose. And so, you know, none of us, we don't have a problem going to a doctor who isn't a Christian, or maybe driving a car that isn't a Christian, or something, you know, wasn't built by Christian people. So these guys, are all, somehow they're following, they read about that there's a star, and they're following the star, and it says that the star led them. You know, so that's miraculous. I remember as a little boy, in fact, Christmas Eve, I don't know how old I was, 8 years old, and I went down to the skating rink. It wasn't open that night because it was Christmas Eve, and it was after we opened our presents, and between that and going to midnight mass, because we used to go to church at midnight, two birds in one stone. You went to church, and you didn't have to go the next day, you know. So you got two things done on that midnight. That was key. But I remember laying on the ice all alone. It was dark, and looking at the stars and asking God. I'm just a little boy. I'm asking God, Lord, God, would you show me a star? Could I see a star move in the heavens just to know that you're there? And, you know, I'm, you know, 7, 8 years old. I remember laying on my back looking up, you know, till finally I got cold and thought, this isn't working. You know, so I didn't see anything move, but I was looking for God. So, but this is what happened. The wise men came, and they followed this star. And then in verse 9, verse 12, the wise men are warned by God. This is what it says. He warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. So God intervenes in their life with a message from God. Don't go to Herod. God intervenes in their life. That happens. Verse 13, then the angel of the Lord appears unto Joseph in a dream and says, Joseph, take the son, take this child. And I love it. The next thing it says, and your wife. He's got God's son, the Savior. But God says, but don't neglect your wife either. Take her with you. Take the son and the wife and go into Egypt. Again, God comes into human life, into time and space, and moves them and says, okay, you got to go into Egypt. So that's verse 13. In verse 19, the angel of the Lord appears unto Joseph again and says, now leave Egypt and go back to Israel. So he's heading back to Israel. Now God again comes into human life, says, do this, go to Israel. In verse 22, God comes to Joseph again in a dream and he says, you're in the wrong place in Israel. So I'm thinking of the leading of God. He said, go back to Israel. And so he goes back and we worry about God's leading. Just do what God has shown you to do, what you feel is right. Now, you know, I got to be careful when I say that, you know. But we can over-spiritualize things. Follow, if my heart is the Lord's and it's sanctified to the Lord, I want to follow where I've got peace. And if it's wrong, God's going to show me. So Joseph goes back to Israel. And God says, no, you can't be here. You've got to take the child again. He appears to him in a dream. You've got to go to Galilee, to this town of Nazareth. So that's where he takes him, down to Galilee and into Nazareth. 23 miracles that we just went through, all having to do with the birth of Christ. And we celebrate it every year. We celebrate it every day. And we are Christians. We've received Christ into our lives. Should our lives not be somewhat miraculous? I think it should be. I think it should be tremendously. We should expect the unexpected. We should expect the wonderful movings of God in our life. As we live for God in His purposes, we should expect the wonderful movings of God in our life. We should expect direction from God. We should expect intervention of God, whatever that looks like. Life shouldn't be ho-hum for us at all. We should be so expectant. And a couple of the last things I want to mention is, as I look at these names, okay, of these players that we see, there's three towns. One's called Bethlehem, and it means the bread, the house of bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life, didn't he, in John 6? I am the bread of life. If you don't eat from me, you will not have life. If you don't have fellowship with me, if you're not alive to me and feasting on me, you got no life. The house of bread. Nazareth means a shoot or a sprout. And didn't Jesus said, I'm the root of the tribe of David. He grew like a sprout, you know, in the dry ground. He was flourishing even in the midst of the desert. And Nazareth means a sprout. Again, picture us of Jesus. Moving on to the names of them. Simeon means someone who's hearing. He had heard from the Lord. And again, these meanings are purposeful for us. Is Jesus today my bread? Is Nazareth in this, you know, the house of bread? Is he that to me? Is he the sprout of my life? Do I sense God's uprising in my life? Do I sense his life in my life? Am I hearing God? Simeon means hearing. Am I hearing from God? Am I hearing? Then we come to the other names. Zacharias means, the old man Zacharias means remembered of God. God hadn't forgot him. He must have asked for a son. He must have asked for a child. And his name is remembered of God. Elizabeth's name is a little difficult. They argue about what it may mean. But Elizabeth's name, from what we can find out, is the oath of God, or God is my oath. Now, I love them both. The oath of God, that God to her was the promiser. God said, I can swear by no greater than by myself. And if I have promised it, I cannot go back on my promise. And Elizabeth held God as her oath, as the promiser. And can't we use that in our life, that if God is our promiser? He's promised, you know, to save us to the uttermost if we follow him. He said, if you cast all your care upon me, I will care for you. He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I'll take care of everything else. Didn't he, you know, and all those promises. Elizabeth is the oath of God. And then we come to Joseph. His name means that God will add. God will add to him. I don't know where we are in our lives, but God can add happiness, years, whatever it might be that we long for. God can add. And finally, the last one, Mary, which we maybe know more about her name. Really, her name really springs from the word bitterness, a sea of bitterness. And Mary perhaps would have been a bitter lady had God not intervened in her life. And rather than being bitter, she said, I'm blessed of all women. I'm the most blessed. What a contradiction. So as, you know, I think of these names, I'm thinking, okay, where are we tonight? What is there in my life tonight? Is there bitterness? Is there sorrow in my life tonight? Do I need to hear from God tonight? Do I need God to add to me tonight? Something I know is wrong in my life. God, will you add to me? That's what Joseph means. Will you add whatever it is that's missing? Lord, will you take away the bitterness? Lord, you're my oath. Give me faith to believe it. Lord, help me to understand that I am remembered of you. So we have all these promises of these miracles, 23 miracles. We have the names of the people, all miraculous meanings in the name. And the challenge is for us to trust God for miracles in our life. And when I listened to the readings tonight, we talked, it says, His name shall be called Wonderful. Is He wonderful to me? Is He wonderful to you? See, Christmas, again, I hesitate, you know, Christmas is every day of the year is Christmas, the birth of Christ. But His name shall be Wonderful. Is He wonderful to me? Do I treat Him as though He's wonderful to me? He's my counselor. Is He my counselor? Is my government upon His shoulder? This is what we read. Then another one that we read, it says that He is God with us. And you shall call His name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Isn't that something? Do we contemplate God within us is even better. God within us. What a wonderful thing. And you shall call His name Jesus, which means Savior, for He shall save us from our sins. Do I know this personally? He has saved us from our sins. It says this, the power of the highest shall overshadow you. When did that last happen? The power of the highest shall overshadow us. What a promise for us to believe, to get down on our knees. God, you know what happened to Mary, let it happen to me. The power of the highest to overshadow my lack of thinking, my darkness of thinking, my clutterness of mind, my messed up anxieties, whatever it might be. You know, my addiction to this, my trouble with that, whatever it might be. I mean, we're all a mixed bag, you know. But the power of the highest to come and overshadow us. This is what He came about to do, the power of the highest to overshadow us. Mary said, He that is mighty hath done great things to me. Can that be our testimony? Wouldn't that be great? Sunday morning, that'd be a testimony. Some of Tom, can I share? God's really met me. Just from Thursday night to today, wow, He that is mighty has done great things for me. And God wants that to be our testimony. He wants us to experience that He that is mighty hath done great things for us. He that is mighty hath done great things for us. And then the angels cried out, glory to God in the highest. Peace. You know, to have peace. To find peace. I want to find men with peace. I want to see the peace, the Prince of Peace, come into men's hearts. Men are dying. Women are dying all around us with no peace. I don't understand it, you know. I mean, I understand death, but I understand that it's not good to die and not having peace with God. And so the heavens rang, you know, peace unto men. You know, goodwill unto men. So here are some of the challenges that, you know, as we read these simple stories that we've heard since we were little children, to be expectant, to expect the unexpected, to expect miracles, to trust God for miracles. In reading from Isaiah, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest thou, O Israel, that my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? That's, you know, God can't find me. I'm in such a mess that there's no hope for me. God doesn't see me. He's passed over me. He's blessed others, but He's missed me. And then it goes on to these familiar verses. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, He is the Lord. He is the creator of the ends of the world. He faints not, neither is He weary. There is no searching of His understanding. We'll never figure His understanding. How can the finite understand the infinite? He gives power to the faint. So if I'm faint, if you're faint, this is great. He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increases their strength. Even the youths shall faint and they shall be weary. Even young people are failing, you know, taking their lives. But they're weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall exchange their weakness, is what it is. They shall exchange their weakness for the strength of God. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Amen. So again, the point is, expect the unexpected from God. Covenant with God. Give your lives for God. Be in God's path. Be going God's way. When I'm not going God's way, you know, there's only conviction there and there's a sense of condemnation and guilt there. And how am I going to expect God to work wonders? He that is and mighty has done wonders for me. But if I'm going God's way and living for Him, I should expect the unexpected, that He who is mighty has done wonderful things for me, right? That's what our expectancy should be. And again, so all of us have different backgrounds, different things in our life. And let's raise our expectancy. Let's, first of all, commit our lives to Christ unreservedly, unhinderedly, absolutely to Him, surrendering our lives to Him, and then look for Him to do wonderful things in our family, in our home, in our lives, all around. Let's pray, and then we're going to close with our last hymn. Father, You have searched our hearts. Lord, You see us. There is no place that we could hide, Lord, and there is no reason for us to hide, Lord. We don't want to hide. Lord, if there's something in our life that You want to change, it's only for our betterment, Lord. So search us, O God, and know My ways, Lord. And tonight, Lord, as we praying now, Lord, would You come to us, Lord, in a freshness, Lord, in a new power, Lord, that we would be expectant that He who is mighty has done wonderful things. Lord, what a thing, Lord, that He that is mighty hath done wonders. Lord, You've done great things for us, Lord. May this be our testimony. Lord, we want to live for You. Lord, we want to see these great things. Lord, we want to expect the unexpected and see the unexpected, Lord. And Father, so we commit our lives to You, Lord. We invite You, Lord, which is only the right thing for us to do. Come in, Lord, and shake us up. Lord, set things right in our life. Lord, cause us to look upon You and just settle our eyes upon You, Lord, and take Him away from all the things that trouble us and cast all our care upon You and let You lead us, Lord. We want to trust in You in greater ways. Father, we thank You again for this time that we've had together. Be lifted up, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.